Poise for Exit is a show for business owners who want to achieve a successful exit based on their own terms. Your business exit will likely be the biggest financial transaction of your life, and for most, you'll have one shot at doing it right. The topics and guests we feature and the stories they share will provide valuable ideas and strategies to improve operations and grow enterprise value so you can achieve the best possible exit outcome. Now here's your host, award-winning certified exit planning advisor, Julie Keys.
Hey, welcome everybody to Poised for Exit, the podcast show for business owners. In today's show, we are going to be talking with a serial entrepreneur who's bought and sold companies. He's planning to open and start new companies, especially from a global perspective. He's a minority business owner looking to expand that particular market. And his success story is one you're going to want to hear. But first, let's hear from our show sponsors.
Right now, there's a record number of buyers looking for businesses, and many businesses are selling at a premium. To get a free, confidential business valuation so you'll know what your business might be worth, contact a broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors at 612-455-0880. We're Minnesota's largest seller of companies. Let us help you maximize your life's work. Call 612-455-0880 or visit sunbeltmidwest.com.
What we see with many businesses is that they've never gotten marketing to work consistently, and the marketing they do doesn't meaningfully impact their bottom line. Data approaches it differently by partnering with clients for long-term, sustainable marketing solutions. They start with a consultative, crawl, walk, run approach that helps you scale your marketing efforts naturally. Data provides marketing for the long-time success of your business to tell your story in a compelling way and to make sure the value you bring is apparent to everyone. Go to data.com for more information. That's data.com.
TrustPoint will design and manage a 401k plan that fits your company's needs. They handle everything from record keeping and investments to employee education and ongoing administration. And they take on the highest level of fiduciary responsibility to ensure your 401k plan is compliant. You already have plenty to keep you up at night. Your 401k plan should not be one of them. Visit TrustPointInc.com for more details.
For business owners, it can be overwhelming to start planning a transition or exit strategy, but it's so important to avoid unwanted outcomes and unexpected tax bills. The CPAs at JAK, John A. Knutson & Company, can guide you and help make sense of the numbers. Our firm was established over 90 years ago, and we've assisted countless companies with ownership transitions. Leaving your business is a process that takes time, so contact us today to discuss your situation. Visit our website at jakcpa.com. That's jakcpa.com.
We are here today with Wally Benjoko. Wally, I am so excited to have you on the Poised for Exit show. We've been working on this for a while.
Yes, Julie, it's a pleasure to be on the show. I'm glad you have me on. And thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. You're a busy guy.
Oh, I try to be.
Oh my gosh. I want to talk about this global growth vision that you have for ethnic business owners, right? In the wholesale food market. You've got a lot of great ideas and dreams, and you've been implementing these kinds of dreams and ideals for 20 years as an entrepreneur.
Yes. I started when I was a teenager, and I got lucky. My dad seeded me some money, and you know, I started a fish farm, and it was tough. I mean, the farm manager lost me all my fish, but that was really my introduction into the value chain of the food value chain. So basically, as I started the farm, I started thinking, I don't want to go and sell in the local markets for the same price every other farm I'm selling. Can I sell to hotels that would pay me a premium for my fish? So while I was anticipating maturity for the fish, I started going to Sheraton hotels in Nigeria and to all the big hotels in Nigeria to say, hey, I have fish for twice the price, but I know that I know that you guys are buying for three times the price. I can supply you for twice the price, and it's premium fish. It's this, it's that, it's that. And Sheraton Lagos gave me my first contract to supply fish. So before my fish was harvested, I started buying the fish from the markets and selling to Sheraton. So when the farm manager stole all my fish, I still had fish to sell. So that's kind of my introduction into hardcore business management, really.
Oh my gosh. So all your fish got stolen, really?
Yeah, 10,000 head of fish.
How does somebody steal fish? I don't know. How does that happen?
Okay, so what he did was because you know you put them in earthen ponds, right?
Sure.
And you feed them and allow them to grow in their natural environment, right? Mm-hmm. What he did was he went there and took all the fish. Because it's the farm manager, he has the key to the farm, he has access, he has everything. So he took all the fish and sold them and then ran away. So I've not seen him in over 20 years, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, you're probably not the first entrepreneur that's been, you know, embezzled by an employee, right?
No, I'm not. And I won't be the last to. It's commonplace, especially, you know, around the world. It's common. It's it happens, but you know that's part of the learning. I think that was my first real trust, you know, trust your gut. Learning curve for me was that was the very first one. Is when you feel like somebody is not doing the right thing in your business, just trust your gut and either talk to them or fire them.
You know, that is such good advice. That's kind of what my last question would be, right? What's your advice for our listeners? Because I think about the times in my life over the years that I owned businesses, had employees, you know, now I'm solo, but I had employees for a long time. And gosh, there were times when I should have just listened to my gut and I didn't, right? I second guessed myself. And then, yeah, you do that a few times and you go, okay, no more of that stuff, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So you have owned several businesses over the years. You've owned a couple of them now. I know that. And Brad Peterson with Sunbelt has been your broker on at least a couple of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
So my business partner, Yinka, and I, we met Brad a few years ago and it was a chance meeting. I forget how the original meeting was, but I guess we found. So we have this logistics business and because we had a lot of trucks, we wanted to go into the repair business to say, okay, rather than throwing money to other companies to repair our trucks, why not we just buy an auto repair center and repair our trucks ourselves? And so Yinka had tried to reach out to a few business brokers and he didn't find any luck and he was getting so frustrated. So this day we went on Google and we're searching for auto shops to buy, and we found one in Spring Park Lake in Minnesota, and we checked up the broker and we called, and that's how we met Brad. And Brad is just an awesome guy, you know.
Yes.
He kind of lays it the way it is. He tells you, okay, I've been in the auto business in the past, I know exactly what I'm saying, and you can ask him questions about, okay, so what happens with this, what happens with that, why this, why that, and you know, because Yinka is, you know, myself and him, we ask a lot of questions, and we asked him, I'm sure it's a billion questions, and he just answered all the questions. So he went from being a business broker to being a friend. Yeah. And that's kind of how we started with Brad. And he's an awesome guy, I'll say.
He is an awesome guy. I know. I know he's very successful, too, with Sunbelt. So shout out to Brad for the good work that he did for you. And, you know, just being able to answer questions or have your questions answered. And know that you've got an advisor that's got your back. That's everything.
It is. And that's, I think that's the exact phrase, is got your back. It doesn't, for him, it's not just about the commissions he's going to make or whatever, you know, money he's going to make. Is, are you making the right decision? Can I help you make the right decision? Can I walk you through your decision-making process? Can I guide you through that process? And that's just the biggest piece in becoming, you know, the difference between successful and being a failure is having somebody that has walked that path or that is walking that path say, hey, I got you. This is what I think you should do. And I think that's what Brad brings to the table is himself, his own businesses. He has sold businesses and he can pretty much guide you through that purchase process, explain to you those terms you don't understand, you know. And it's just a huge piece of owning a business is somebody like Brad in your corner. And so I just went from, okay, business broker to friend. And you don't have a choice. You are now my friend.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, he had a lot of great things to say about you. He just said, you're just taking the world by storm. And so I'm just happy to have you on the show. I love the idea, though, of having an auto repair shop to actually fix your own trucks. That's so smart, because then you're not at the mercy of someone else being able to fit you into their schedule, right? Out for you then.
It's good. You know, it's pure vertical integration. Grow from within. It's going to take time to get where we want to be, but the logistics business owns the auto repair business indirectly. So directly and indirectly, really, because they seeded the funds for the business, for the auto store. So it's going good. There's obviously challenges. COVID has been a big problem with value chains all around the world breaking down. You can't get stuff from China. You can't get stuff from anywhere. All the vendors are telling you, oh, well, price increases are coming every week. So it's crazy. You can't push all those price increases to the end user. So you have to absorb some of them. So profitability takes a hit. But, you know, it's part of what we do.
I know, you know, you're not alone, right? And the people that are out there that are own businesses that are listening are nodding their head as they're listening, right?
Yeah.
They're driving to work or walking their dog or whatever they're doing.
Yes.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Well, it's good to know that we're not alone, I guess. And things are a little bit better, it seems, don't you think, on the supply chain front?
So, okay, let's talk a bit of finance.
Let's do that.
So, there are different pieces that make up that supply chain bit, right? So you have the actual shipping, you have staffing, and you have the market, the economy, inflation. So even when you deal with the shipping and the manufacturing bit from wherever these guys import all this stuff for us from, a lot of them are short-staffed. And so because they are short-staffed, the cost of actually getting the stuff from them to us increases because their demurrage at the dockyards have increased, or their storage costs in their warehouses have increased. So you are not getting stuff when you should get it. And you have the inflation piece with the market. The market is doing this funny dance right now.
Yes.
And so stuff that you get for $2 last month is now $2.15. And so even though you have that manufacturing piece resolved to a very large extent, the other pieces in the value chain are still affected, and that ultimately brings your price up still. So it's a game that I think we have a few months to go through to get it to a place where it kind of is comfortable for everyone. But right now, I think it's still a bit of a topsy-turvy.
That's what I understand too. For sure. And, you know, I think just with the uncertainty, too, that just affects everybody, even you and I, right? Yeah, it's kind of the ripple effect of all of that. Well, let's talk about the business that you're in right now. I mean, I know you got the logistics one. Is your partner running that one then, or how does that go?
So we have a store manager that pretty much runs the operations. And that's how we do it, because you can't really, you can't be in every place at the same time. So,
And you know, that's how you build value in the business too, right? I know you know that. Yeah. Because it's dependent on you, then that really does deplete the value of the business when you can't ever leave.
Correct. Because if you, and that's one problem I found with a lot of, you know, people that want to sell their companies, because we tried to expand the auto store, and there was one store we really liked and it was going to sell. Can I mention figures?
Sure.
Okay, it was going to sell for 300K. It's a small shop, 4-bay shop. And we started looking at the numbers. He has just one mechanic. He's the second mechanic. He has one receptionist / auto writer or parts writer. And so service writer. And I'm like, okay, so if you sell this shop to us, what happens to you? Are you going to keep on working or are you leaving? He says, no, I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm just selling. Okay. Can I bring in another auto mechanic that is a senior tech? Oh, no, you can't bring in a senior tech because the volume of work I have, I need to keep the current senior tech comfortable. So you need to look for a junior tech. Okay. So if I bring in a junior tech, can the junior tech do $100,000 or $200,000 of work in a year? No, he doesn't have, he can't do $200,000 because the other guy has to be happy. Okay, so essentially you've built this business around yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I said, okay, does the service writer know when to suggest third-party parts or OEMs? He said, no, at times she makes that mistake. Okay, so then you don't have a business to sell. You're basically just pushing this on someone, and anybody that buys this has to sit down in this shop 24 hours a day to make sure it's the same profitability as what you add. And that's not a business. That's an extension of yourself. And so exactly. And so one of the most important things I think about is when you want to buy a business is, can you be separate from that business? Can you get yourself out of that business? And the big example is Sam Walton. You know, he started building Walmart. If he had stayed as the head of Walmart, he probably would have 2 or 3 stores.
Right.
But right now, with $600 billion in revenue, it's because he took himself out of the business.
Yes.
He empowered people. He trained people. He replicated himself in people. And people basically did his job for him. And then he could think up strategy to say, okay, now, where do we go from here?
I think that you're like a Sam Walton.
I pray so.
I mean, just from our conversations that we've had, not just on the show here, but you have a lot of ideas and you're super smart. You just have to make the right connections. So whoever's listening out there and has a vision for investing in some really great ideas with a minority business owner like you, then they should connect with you. And we'll be tagging you so they'll be able to reach out to you either on LinkedIn or on the show notes or whatever. But I got a couple more questions before we wrap up here, Wally. So you've been a business owner for a long time, and sometimes good, sometimes not so good, right? It's a high low. I know, I've lived it too. But you've had, I'm sure, some lessons, some high points and some low points. Maybe you could just share a couple of those with us.
I'll tell you one high point.
Yeah.
So as I was thinking about this global vision model a few years ago.
Yeah, because you own a retail grocery store too. We didn't even get into that yet.
No,
we mentioned food at the very beginning of the show. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to it at the end. But, you know, as I was thinking about this global model for business ownership a few years ago,
yes.
I felt like I needed to have the media in my corner, you know, actors, musicians, and the likes. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, with a buddy of mine, we started a movie studio in Nigeria. And so this morning, so Amazon approved our movie last month. We shot the movie 3 years ago. And so this morning, Amazon confirms to us it's going on Prime on the 15th of February. So that's a high point for me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I just interrupted you. So your movie's going out on Amazon Prime on February 15th.
Yes. It's called Silence. And it's a big deal for me because, it was like jumping into the deep and just looking for actors in Nigeria, directors, going there for weeks and just shooting the movie and, you know, doing all the editing with editors and doing all that crazy stuff. So it's going on Prime. And, you know, we're pumped up for that for sure.
Wow. So, okay. What is the basic gist of the movie?
Domestic abuse, but there's a flip. So this time around, the woman is the aggressor. She's the abuser. And it's funny because the character we chose as the woman is somebody with a very small size, but then a lot of the abuse comes from a place of abuse she received as a child from her dad. And the fact that she didn't have a mom to kind of guide her through growing into a teenager and into a young adult. And so she acted all of that abuse and anger out on her husband. Her husband came from a place of not as rich as she was. She came from a very wealthy home. So she had access to money, to the police, to corruption, to everything that could keep her out of trouble.
Wow.
And so the vices she had pretty much just trickled into her marriage. She ended up killing her husband inadvertently. But the twist is her child thinks she was the one that killed the husband. So there's a lot of gist in the movie. And, you know, just February 15 on Amazon Prime, Silence. The movie is called Silence. It's, you know, shot in Nigeria. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. It's just, you know, something crazy we thought about. And again, it's really just to start getting that media piece in, start getting that connection with actors, such that when we start doing this global distribution for groceries and ethnic markets, we have people to trumpet our products. And so, yeah, so it's a big one for me. It's something I'm happy, you know, we're able to do. It's high point. Low point.
Wow. I'm writing all this down, you know, that's why I'm not saying anything, because this is amazing. I can't wait. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
Low point. I tried to build a tech startup. So my background beyond business ownership is I have a bachelor's in microbiology. Mm-hmm. My first degree is my second degree is a master's in operations in marketing. My second is a master's in operations management, is an MBA. Mm-hmm. And my fourth is a master's in international business.
My goodness.
So, yeah. So, and then I worked in the oil and gas with Total, and I worked in Siemens, right here on my shirt. In global distribution and supply chain, with finance as the overarching principle behind those distribution models. Mm-hmm. So down the line, I wanted to build a tech startup using distribution models. And so I went to Caltech. I started a DevOps program, kind of learned how to do some coding in Python and all of that. And I brought a team together and we built a good product. And the idea behind the product is just the same way 300, 400 years ago, you had the stock market start because people wanted to buy into companies without owning the old company. So they bought a portion of it. We felt like we have creatives, influencers around the world, Bonoboy, Taylor Swift, Usher, you know, Bryan Adams. These guys are huge creatives. Their fans always look from the outside in. So I said, can we build a platform where the fans are not just looking from the outside in, but they can have a piece of the creative license of these people?
Mm.
And so I got we brought in about $100,000. We built that product. And then we needed to get creatives to sign up. And it's been a struggle. So that's a low point for me from last year, kind of a pet project I worked on for about a year. And it's just, I just said, you know what, let me just put it on the side for now. So that's a low point for me.
Well, it doesn't mean that it's dead, though. I mean, gosh, you've done a lot of footwork around all of that, right?
Yes.
Oh, you could resurrect that. I mean, with the right people and the right resources, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I say around that whole initiative to be continued.
To be continued, correct. I put it on ice for a few months just to, because yeah. It was a lot, you know,
right.
Talking to programmers. A lot of my programmers, are, you know, I have one in Portugal, one in Nigeria, two in the UK, you know, different time zones. I'm in the US. It was a lot of work.
No kidding. Plus you're trying to raise a family and.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, gosh. Okay. So like I said, to be continued, we've reached the end of the show. I just want to say this has been so awesome and I would definitely love to have you back on the show again, Wally. So please stay in touch with me. I know you're local in the Twin Cities, which is awesome. We should probably get together in person sometime. Next time we'll record in the studio. It didn't work out this time for us, mostly for me than you. But we'll definitely get you in the studio, maybe even bring Brad along. That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
I'm sure by the, you know, in a few months, you'll have plenty more that's going on that you can share. It'll be a brand new episode. So thanks so much for joining us, though.
Thank you so much, Julie, for having me. I know I don't think I answered all the questions, but thank you for having me.
Oh, you definitely did. Like I said, to be continued, you talked a lot about a lot of the things that we wanted to make sure we touched on. So, and I'm sure that our listeners appreciated it. We'll have you back again. And for our listeners, thank you so much for joining us, for subscribing, for sharing. We really appreciate it. Join us again next time.